Hey, Orthopreneurs, it's Dr. Glenn Krieger here, and let me tell you, the Orthopreneurs 2024 Summit, which is going to be on a Royal Caribbean ship, has taken off. I don't mean literally, but we actually booked an entire ship just for us. We started selling it already, and believe it or not, it's selling out fast. People want to come by themselves. People want to bring their team. People want to bring their families. Remember, there's a kids club there, and there's also an adult-only pool. So you can watch the presentations streaming throughout the whole ship. Imagine sitting in the pool with a drink in your hand, watching someone speak on tips and tricks to help your practice get better while you're sitting knee-deep in a pool with a drink in your hand. Sounds pretty cool, right? Well, you've come to know the kind of meetings we put together, and this one's going to be even more exceptional and even more affordable. Go to opsummit2024.com to sign up now.
So it helps when a CEO of a corporation understands that, okay, this product is going to be great. And I said to him, in 4 to 5 years' time, Spark will make you more money than the rest of your Envista products combined. He said, no. Our implants business is pretty good. And I caught up with him at the summit. He's like, oh, you're right. This year is going to be doing far higher than what I anticipated with that close. So it's kind of very nice to know that I had the confidence on the product.
This is the Orthopreneur Show with Glenn Krieger, talking about the things you never learned in school, like marketing, management, and leadership.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Orthopreneurs Podcast. Today, I have one of my favorite new friends. Well, he's not a new friend, but he's a newer friend of mine who I've really gotten to know and care a great deal about, and I asked him if he'd be on today's podcast. So put your hands together and give a warm Orthopreneurs welcome to Dr. Vas Srinivasan. Did I say that right? Did I say it right that
time?
You did.
You mean that not many people can say that so well. Well done.
I recently had the opportunity to spend some time with Vas at the Envista Summit, where he was a front row attendee sitting right there taking it all in. The thing about it, folks, is this. He came to Anaheim, California from Australia. For how long? How long was the trip?
I was meant to be a 13-hour flight, but I had to take a trip via Asia and Europe because my flight got canceled 4 hours prior. So 34 hours in.
34 hours. And he missed one day of the 3 day meeting, and he still went. So for anybody out there, whoever complains that traveling to Orthopreneur Summit is tough or difficult, let Vas be your guide. Let him be your inspiration, because this is a guy who got off a plane, went straight to the lecture hall. And here I'm talking to him and he's smiling. He's energetic. And best of all, you're giving energy to those around you. So I said to him, I've got to get you on the podcast, and I'm thrilled we have him today. So thank you for being here, Vas.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
And today he's coming to you from Dublin, California. I want them to think you're traveling to Ireland or something like that. But let's start with this. If you don't mind telling everybody a little bit about your story in as much or little detail as you want, and how you kind of ended up where you are today, if you don't mind.
For some of you who may know me, but you may not know all the background details, I was born in India. My mother is a refugee from Myanmar or Burma, and my father's side is Indian. And so I've spent all my teenage life in India, and then had a chance to go to the greatest country on earth, the United States. And that dream and desire was to learn the higher quality education that you may not get in some countries. And that was my dream, at least when I was, I finished my dental school, and I feel like I wanted to do something more. So here I am in 1999 trying to get to identify how to get into the U.S. And I had an opportunity to come into Minnesota. And as I was telling Glenn a little bit before this podcast, I came from 100 degrees plus as an average temperature in India, in the southern part called Chennai. And most people would know it as Madras. I flew into Minnesota, which was, I think, 25 or 30 degrees when I landed. It was something out of the movie, right? And after spending a few years in Minnesota, I understood my dream to become an orthodontist in the U.S. was not going to happen in the time frame I expected it to happen, because I had a bachelor degree rather than a graduate degree. And I chose to apply to Commonwealth countries. And after 9/11 happened, the economy was slowing down, and I found an opportunity to move back either to UK or Australia. I was very lucky to get a scholarship in University of Sydney, which is a rare opportunity for somebody who has never foot in that country. And I called Australia home. I graduated from University of Sydney in 2006 and started a practice at the bottom of the Great Barrier Reef, a town called Sunshine Coast. And the populations are 300,000 people there. My main inspiration to move to that small town was a man that most of you know, Steve Irwin. And you would have seen, if you were in your 40s and 50s, you would have seen him in late night TV shows, picking up snakes and catching crocodiles, the crocodile hunter.
He was big here in the U.S.
Correct. And that was my inspiration to move. But unlucky, he passed away after a few weeks of me getting there in a tragic accident. But I called that home and I continued to live there with two practices 200 miles apart from each other.
So you've been in Australia now, for those of us keeping track at home, for how long?
21 years now.
Wow. It's a little while, huh? I had to ask him before we came on. I'm just getting shivers thinking about it because I've never been to Australia. I hope to get there at some point in the future. But I had to ask him, have you ever seen sort of a crazy, weird, deadly creature of any kind in your home? And your response was?
You do every single day. Unless you live in a city apartment.
Every single day.
Yes. it depends on if you live in the city or not. If you're anywhere not in a city, there's a highly likelihood chance you'll see something venomous or deadly. And where I am, the most common ones are spiders. And the next one is, eastern brown snake, which is very common in our bushland. That's probably within, a mile of my home is the beachfront, and there are hundreds of them. They're trying to eat frogs and crabs and so on, but you see them.
I don't ever need to visit Australia after that. I'm good. I've always been amazed at people who live, like here in the United States, I live in Texas. So Texas has, let's just use the word critters, as it's got more critters that can cause you a little bit of harm than some of the states and less than others, right? We have rattlesnakes and cottonmouths and, we've got water moccasins and black widows and maybe the odd scorpion here and there. I've never seen one, knock on wood, in my home in Dallas, but they're around and you see them on golf courses or places like that. And then you see the videos on TikTok or YouTube from Australia where the guy's got a spider in the corner of the room and he hits it with a broom and the spider basically takes the broom out of his hand and beats him with it or something along those lines, right? Or the one that just still gives me nightmares is seeing the egg sac that the guy pokes with a stick.
Yeah.
And then like 10,000 spiders spread out all over the whole room, every one of which is deadly. I mean, I know this sounds so silly, but I have to ask, I'm not a squeamish guy and I'm not a nervous guy, but how does one reconcile their day-to-day existence when they are truly, as in your words, surrounded by deadly animals on a regular basis? Do they just not? Is the old adage, they don't want to bother you, they stay away from you? But I know that's not true.
I would actually say it's very true because especially snakes, they are obviously not wanting to eat you or bite you because it's not like they're their hide and seek game, right? They, in fact, your footsteps will give them alarm bells that they would run away from you very quickly. The understanding is, as long as you understand you live in their world and not the other way around, that's the whole idea of most Australians who go to swim in the beach, knowing well there's a shark around. There's more Australians who prefer not to have a shark net and understand that sharks are part of our life. And if you want to have a swim in the ocean, that, it's you're going into their home. And I just think there are some Australians who would want, obviously, the tourists to come in and swim in the ocean. So they want the.
I'm not swimming in any ocean where there are sharks.
Shark
I'm saying
nets.
That. No, please. You have to send me not a shark.
Hello there, entrepreneurs. Sign up
for the Orthopreneurs 24 Summit now. We took over an entire ship just for us. And here's the thing. It's selling out so fast right now that the room types are selling out. So if there's a particular type of cabin you want, you better get on to opsummit2024.com right now and sign up. And why are people signing up? Because of three reasons. Number one, it's a boat, which means you can bring your team, your family. Yes, there's a kids club. And yes, there's an adults only pool. Number two, the lineup I have is going to be spectacular. These are not people you're going to see on any other stage anywhere. I dug deep to find the best to help you live your best, most profitable, most productive, personal and practice lives. And they're going to blow you away. And number three, the type of cabin you want is limited. This is not a hotel where most of the rooms are the same. If you want one with a balcony, they're selling out. You want an inside room to save money, they're selling out. So go to opsummit2024.com right now, sign up for a cruise September 18th to 22nd, and you will have the best CE time of your life. And now, back to the podcast.
No. There's my satellite office. We have extreme amount of jellyfish. And you will have signs everywhere to say, if you get stung by a jellyfish, you know, urinate on them or vinegar on them or whatnot. But then there are people who live with that sting mark for the rest of their life. It doesn't turn them off, because as long as you understand, you live in a land that is blessed with natural creatures, and that, you know, you're living their home. And yes, if you don't like it, yes, living in an apartment in the middle of the city might help that.
Yeah, I'm living in a 40th story downtown, middle of Sydney, you know, as centered from the ocean as I can be, even though I'm a water baby. You know, a box jellyfish is not to be trifled with, right? And I just came back. My Orthopreneurs RD group, we went to Dubai and the Maldives, about 25 or 30 of us. And I had the opportunity to swim on a reef with, you know, every day I'd go out snorkeling with my wife in the Maldives, and they'd be black tip, you know, reef sharks, which, you know, if provoked, can attack man. But we just swam around them. They didn't bother us. But a great white shark is a very different kind of animal. And I know we're not their type of food, but God bless you for swimming with them, because I know what's got two thumbs and won't. That's all I'm saying. So I want to transition a little bit into orthodontics. I figure that's what we're here for after all, right? And at the Invista Summit, I was watching my good friend and fellow RDer, Bill Dissinger, on stage, just being the amazing guy he is, right? He's such a great speaker. He's such a great human being, just like his dad, Terry Dissinger, who was also amazing guy, amazing teacher. I had very little of him in my career, but the impact was huge. And there in the middle of the Invista Summit, the Ormco portion of it, he looked down and said, "Voss," and he said two things that I want to dive into. We'll do the second one first, okay? He said, "There's Voss. If it wasn't for him, there wouldn't be Spark Aligners." And so thank you, Voss, and everybody applauded. And then he said, "Man, I love how much weight you lost. So I didn't know you before you lost the weight. So tell me a little bit about the journey, about what's happened in your life and how it happened."
So, you know, I mean, I would never say I was ever skinny, and I've always chosen a body frame that I felt I was adequate with and healthy. But over the last 5 years as a practice, settled into this happy mode where the profits are higher and I didn't have to think about where the next patient came from. Once you start getting used to that line where you're not craving and going and doing things, I was very happy to meet with friends and family traveling, and, you know, came along the perfect wine, and there was food, late night drinks and staff parties, and you accumulate not only money, wealth, but also the excess weight. And I think last year I felt I had a little too much of fun consuming alcohol and eating whatnot. And I looked at myself and I thought, I'm out of shape and I can't even tie my shoelaces properly without huffing and puffing. So I made a conscious effort to make my 45th year of my life turn around. And I obviously didn't want to do something like the marathon or do something where I can easily give up. I found what could be helpful. And like our patients, how they find orthodontist, I chose the most important source of inspiration, Instagram. And I was following all these people who are doing different things. And one of the key things was everybody was giving their own recipe. But my choice was going to be intermittent fasting, which I believe had so much, it resonated with what I was thinking could help. And during that intermittent fasting of 8 hours of eating window and 16 hours of starvation, I felt that was something I could do. And the second was, contrary to every other inspiration I got, I decided I'm going to walk my 10,000 steps a day after my dinner. So my eating window is 10 till 6, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Everybody talks about going to the gym before. So I decided I'll eat my dinner at 6:30 or 7 p.m. My kids are ready to go to bed, and I put on my headphones and I go for a walk. I get my 10,000 steps done. And I joined hot yoga. The hot yoga was 3 days a week, which helped me really get rid of my back pain because the stretching part of it is so underappreciated. And you feel very energetic, maybe not after the class, but maybe 6 hours after. You feel like you don't sleep as too much, you know? So that's my journey with that.
Nice. Well, congratulations on it. It's not just impressive, but it's wonderful because it's going to help you live longer. It's going to help you live better. Over the last, year-ish or so, I've been doing a lot of podcast episodes on this podcast with a lot of people in the health and wellness space. I'm trying to be an advocate and a voice out there for people. You know, a couple of things. One, I'm not going to tell you how to eat. I'm just going to ask you to try to get healthier. Whatever it is that you're doing, with very few exceptions, you can get healthier. Sure, you're, a black belt in karate, but you like to go out drinking every Saturday night and you drink in excess, or you drink 4 or 5 times a week. Right? Sure, you're a CrossFit maven, and I don't want anybody to think I'm speaking about them specifically, but you're a CrossFit maven or you're a long distance runner and you love to eat a box of Cheez-Its when you get home every night, right? Like everybody's got their thing, and it's also more subtle at times. One of my big soapbox posts that I thought I'd get myself in a little trouble, but the amount of positive feedback I've gotten from people that I was really speaking to is really encouraging, because I spoke about the fact that in this generation of orthodontists, generally millennials, it's not quite the Gen Z age yet. I've been talking about the fact that whenever I say to somebody who's between the ages of 30 and 45 or so, hey, if I gave you some free time, what would you do with it? Right? If I could show you, I gave a lecture last year at Summit, at Orthopreneur Summit, how AI can get you back 6 weeks more vacation per year, legitimately. And I said, if I can give you more time, what would you do with it? And the sort of knee-jerk response instantly from everybody in that age group is spend more time with my kids. Spend more time with my kids. Now, I can't speak for your upbringing in India, but my family, my parents are wonderful people. Thank God they're still around. They spent a lot of time with me. But when they got free time, they spent it with each other, or they found a hobby, or they went and did something. And I see us heading towards, and many say that we're heading towards a mental health crisis for both the kids and the adults, because the two are so inextricably linked together that they don't know how to separate. And so social media has everything to do with it, because you're not a good parent unless you post all of your social media posts of you and your children all day long from morning till night. I don't even know what the overwhelming majority of my friends like, because all they post is pictures of their children going to school, pictures of their children eating dinner, pictures of their children at soccer practice, pictures of their children. I don't even know what they like anymore, the vast majority. So I'm just going back to here. I posted recently on Orthopreneurs a 5-Minute Friday about that. And a lot of them said, you know what? You're right. And they sent me back messages privately. I do need to spend more time for me. And again, so I've been a big advocate of losing weight. I've been a big advocate of eating right. I've been a big advocate of spending more time on yourself, more acupuncture, more massage, more of everything you can bring into your life, more spirituality, more closeness to your creator if you believe in one, or more time meditating if you don't, or as an adjunct, even if you do, more breath work, more flexibility, because I need all of that. And I'm just spreading my message to others because I'm going to be on that journey and I want them along with me. And so kudos to you for putting in the time and energy you have. Do you find that the yoga is equally mentally cleansing as it is physically, or do you do something different for that?
And you have that stressful day or stressful week. I mean, because I go every second day, they can just say, pick that one thing. And you always pick up that one patient or parent who is giving you nightmares. Pick and saying, I want to let that go. And that is helpful. Somebody's trying to help you. And if I'm not good at it, I will at least learn from somebody who is good at it. And that's really helpful.
One of the things that I've learned, and again, this is going to sound trite. It's going to sound stereotypical. It's going to sound like I'm making a generalization. But all of my friends who grew up in Indian households or from India have a real mental approach towards life that is so much healthier than even the healthiest or more healthy American upbringings in terms of not spirituality, but in terms of mental wellness, in terms of looking at the world in a broader way. And so any suggestions you make for people about how you stay balanced, I'll always take. I will tell you that what's really helped me over the last year, right, has been box breathing, right? For me, I've talked about it a bit. Box breathing has been remarkable for me where I, you know, first thing in the morning or last thing at night or in the middle of the day, just close my eyes, breathe in. I do 10, 10, 10, 10, but you can easily do 4, 4, 4, 4. You know, I breathe in for 10 seconds. And when I breathe in positivity. I breathe in love. I bring in intentionality. I bring in positivity. I breathe in and visualize everything good that I want more of in my life. And then I hold for 10 seconds as I sort of meditate on that. And then I do 10 seconds of breathing out passive aggressiveness, anger, negativity, hostility. I breathe out all of the things that I don't want to manifest in my day-to-day life, right? And then 10 seconds pause and then do it all over again, like a box, up, right, down, left, right? And so it's been really good for me. It's really helped me live a much, much better life, much better life. And it was just something, you know, box breathing has been around, but I felt I needed to add another. It comes from martial arts training with me before a match. I would always breathe in blue, cool air to cleanse your body and breathe out red, fiery, spiky air, which is the toxins leaving your body before a match, to really get sort of in the right mindset. And I found that this really helps me. What do you do, if anything, to sort of bring yourself peace or tranquility?
You were spot on about the family connections. It's interesting. Being a typical male, every time my wife says, how was your day? And if it's a bad day, I try to shield her from understanding my difficult day. And I feel like now, after all these years, and it takes a while for men to get it, right? So I feel like now, I feel like maybe I should share how a good day or a bad day was. And my parents, I've always felt comfortable doing that with my parents, you know, to tell them I had a bad day at school or bad day at college or now having a bad day at work. And, you know, they would give you a perspective that is amazingly different from what I would commercially think. And I just think that means ton loads. And they'll say, oh, all right, well, what's the big deal? Just give them the money and let them go elsewhere. And I'll put up a saying, but I've done all this work. Saying, but see, you're spending all this time talking about them. But if you're out of your life, we would talk about something else. And what does that mean to you? Like, you know, just you're going to pay tax on that 50% what they're going to give you anyways, at least in Australia, that's a taxation wise. And you say, not worth it. And it means a lot. And whether it's how they resolve a dispute with a neighbor or how they connect and understand empathy, I just think I've lost them. And I'm slowly gaining that from them, which is very helpful. And your boxed breathing is definitely something I'm very happy to try, because I just think it goes back to what you take in and then what you give out.
What you're intentional about happens, right? If you're unintentional, it never occurs. Or it happens by luck, which is not how I want my life to run if I can avoid it. But it's interesting what you said about your wife. And I know we didn't, you know, you get two guys of a certain age with a little bit of gray in the front of their beard and you get these kinds of conversations going, which is what I love about my sixth decade of life. And, you know, I was told by a friend of mine many, many years ago, much older gentleman, I said, you know, what life advice do you have for me? He says, go for marriage therapy when things are good. And so, you know, my wife and I've never had a problem admitting that, you know, I've gone for therapy with her, not because we're in trouble, but because we want to make it even better. You know, some go to church camps of sorts, others go to, you know, other types of church groups or whatever they might do. But, you know, along the way, one of the things that came out that was very interesting, and this might be good for a lot of the younger practitioners, I would come home from work and I wouldn't talk about work, right? Because I didn't want to bother my wife. I wanted to talk about family. I wanted to talk about plans. I want to talk about life. I want to talk about the TV show that she was watching. And then, you know, and she said to the therapist one, she goes, he doesn't include me in work at all. He doesn't talk to me about work at all. I wish she would just not keep it all in. And it was like, oh my gosh, she wants to hear about my day. She genuinely wants to be. I thought I was doing her a favor by shielding her from all the people who didn't show up for work or the patients who didn't pay or those patients who were toxic. And at the end of the day, sharing with her, you know, has been tough for me. It wasn't easy. You know, I don't know why, but it's really helped because, to be honest, she's never wrong. Like, you know, when it comes to, right, my wife is never wrong. If a phone call comes in and it's fraud, within 1 second, she's like, it's fraud. Hang up. I'm like, no, give me a second. I just, you don't know it's fraud. And like the next day, I have to change my credit card.
Nigeria.
Yeah, exactly. Is it? But I posted in Orthopreneurs recently, and anybody listening should go check it out. I got hit with an amazingly intricate phishing scam that almost took me. And I'm not saying I'm anybody special, but I guarantee you 99.9% of people who answered that call would have fallen for it too. And I caught it at the last second before it caused any harm. It was, you know, Bank of America fraud department calling me on the Bank of America fraud line on the same number that matched the number on the back of my card. They were able to give me, they sent me a code to read back to them. They were able to tell me deposits and what have you that had been made in my account. And it's a long story. You should read it in Orthopreneurs, and I posted privately on my Glenn Krieger Facebook page. But my point is, I was on the call with them for 30 minutes. My wife in the first minute said, hang up, it's fraud. I go, it's not fraud. And lo and behold, she's always right about that. I am the most forward-thinking man with women's rights. I have a mother who went back to become an attorney in her 30s. I have an aunt who is head counsel as an attorney for some of the biggest companies in North America. There is no glass ceiling in the Krieger home. But I do believe that men and women are different. I do believe that you know, there's a wisdom or an intuition or whatever you want to call it that women have been endowed with for one reason or another that thank God for, because, you know, I don't know if any man would ever make decent decisions in their life without a woman next to them. And so I want to jump into the second comment, or which was the first one about from Bill Dissinger about you, was without Vaz, there is no spark aligners. And that was in and of itself was a reason for me to get you on this podcast, among all the amazing other conversations we're having. But what did he mean by that?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Bill. It was an extremely generous line in obviously the middle of his presentation. But I would say the truth is when Envista, well, before Envista, it was all Ormco. And Ormco had a product called Clear Guide. I don't know if any of you guys remember this. It was a life into clear aligners. This is going back 10 years ago almost. They tried that, and that's when they felt, oh, maybe we should have something like Invisalign. And they didn't do very well because it was such a small project. The Lithos scanner, it was all combined, and I was very invested in it. And it dropped out of like their portfolio of products. Now, obviously, just like most people, I started using Invisalign and tried complex cases. And somewhere in 2016, I also started to try Insignia, and that was the digital braces with IDB from Ormco. And we were doing quite a decent number of them, and I started liking the product. And which I liked about it was a little bit more simplistic version than the SureSmile software. Now, I do like computers, but at the same time, the amount of information on Insignia for an orthodontist like myself to decipher and then spend time on it. And I started telling them, look, it needs to be a little bit more simpler because I can see this is a good product. But if you want to get it out there to everybody, you need to start making it a little bit more simpler. And of course, that product continued to evolve. And 2017, if I'm not wrong, the Australian digital rep called me and saying, oh, I want to bring a few people to come meet you. When can we meet? And we figured out a date and time. The five of them who came, and I invited them home for dinner because there was only time I could connect with them. It happened to be a scientist and or a marketing person and a product specialist and the digital person and potentially somebody who was going to put it all together. They came and said, well, we are trying to get into the clear aligner market and to compete with the other company. Would you like to be in the trial group? And knowing what they did with ClearGuide, I was a little bit skeptical because they may take up all my time and resources and disappear. And I would be left with these patients. So I said, what if this product didn't work and whatnot? And they were very appreciative of my concerns. And they said, look, we're only going with five doctors or six doctors. And if the product doesn't work, we'll pay for you to jump back to the other clear aligner company and we'll pay for all of that, which I thought was a good deal because I'm not going to put my patients down and then left to pick up all the pieces. And with that aside, we started this group and they were all Australian doctors. And then they started doing this clear aligner product. So it was manually made. Every single aligner was manually trimmed and focused. And but the best part about that is, and in some ways good part for me and not so for Spark themselves, is out of the five doctors, I was the only one who was submitting cases. To the point they wanted 30 or 50 cases. I did 28 or 29 of them. And it required a lot of paperwork, a lot of record collection consent. And when it eventually came to 30, they said, oh, look, we want to do more because I don't think it's going to be enough for us to do FDA. And they increased the number. Again, I contributed quite a bit. But what made me do that was the amount of effort. The team did that for me. They were based in Brea. And the feedback I would give, I said, look, we need this, we need that. It all happened within 24 hours. And I was just gobsmacked about where are these people? I mean, these people should be working on Insignia. They should be working on other products. But the amount of changes, one would say, it's not like a 3-month wait. It'll happen 24, 48 hours. Say, I want this. No problem. We can do that. We want a button cut out. No problem. We can do that. And this involved legal team, which also didn't want to go through and get into patents and dramas. So I was inspired. So by the time FDA paperwork came, I would say 95 or 98%, whatever the number is, all came from my practice. But what I told them is I'm surprised why the other four are not doing. Maybe I should share them my progress photos and tell them this does work and the team does do a good job. And then they said, oh, well, we didn't think of that. Maybe they were thrown out by the whole paperwork and this paperwork was pretty hectic. And when the FDA paperwork did come through, they realized that if they wanted to go and launch into another country or another, they then chose to go to New Zealand. And they only had me to look up to for them to show clinical stuff, why some things were working better than the other company. And a lot of times they themselves didn't know what was helping them. And I would tell them, this is why your product is doing better. And because the software, as we see now, was developed over this period of 4 to 5 years, I have an in-depth knowledge of why certain features are there now and why certain features are not there. And a lot of that was just made to make sure it's simple. To give you an idea, I did a presentation to my college, my residency senior by 2 years, and she has been using the other product for all these years. And she said, oh, look, everybody's talking about this. I've not jumped into it. can you spend 20 minutes or so and I'll pay you if you show me? And I said, no, let's do this for free. Like, you know, we know each other. And I'm spending 20 minutes. And within the first 5 or 10 minutes, she tells me, it's very simple. And I said, that's what's meant to be. It's extremely simple for anybody with no computer knowledge to be able to come and look at 10 icons or a few things, or they can spend as much as they want, but they don't have to get the best outcome. And that's the whole idea of the software that has been improved. And so I do feel proud that where we are now is through that hard work. But of course, credit doesn't go to just me. The team, and some of them not with us anymore in that same team. But I can see the effort that has gone in. And to really show this as well, Envista CEO, Amir Akday, he was not yet announced to be the CEO of Envista to the share market, but he had made a swift visit. He flew in all the way from Europe to see and spend time with me in the practice for 6 hours before Wall Street found out that he was going to be the CEO. So it helps when a CEO of a corporation understands that, okay, this product is going to be great. And I said to him, in 4 to 5 years' time, Spark will make you more money than the rest of your Envista products combined. He said, no. Our implants business is pretty good. And I caught up with him at the summit. He's like, oh, you're right. This year is going to be doing far higher than what I anticipated with that close. So it's kind of very nice to know that I had the confidence on the product more than anybody else because I worked with it every single day. And I am very proud of it.
It's beautiful. Were you a clear aligner user with other brands before you went to Spark? Were you an Invisalign or 3M or any other brand of user?
I was Invisalign KOL, and I used to speak for them for 4 to 5 years. And I still have to use 3M products in my practice, but I have not used their aligner product yet. I hear great things about the 3M Clarity aligners. But I stopped using all other companies, but I use ULAB for my post-braces finish. Right. And I do maybe 50 cases a year with ULAB where I want to finish with 3 to 5 aligners at the end of it, where I can quickly do that where my finishing and detailing was not good enough to get to the desired outcome.
Nice. So what I hear from a huge number of Spark users and KOLs, and again, I'm not in a position to defend it or refute it. I just look for truth. They talk about doing things with the plastic from Spark that they simply can't do with Invisalign. Now, I don't want to be that guy who says plastic is plastic. It's just another tool. It's the user who really drives the treatment. But that being said, you're the same user of Spark as you were for Invisalign. Do you feel like the plastic really makes that big of a difference? Or do you feel like they just gave different tools that allow you to do it better?
So it's interesting. Somebody asked me, a doctor from South America asked me just a couple of nights ago. And it's exact same question. And I, without sharing a lot of proprietary information, I can tell you not all plastic are the same. And that I can give it with 100% truth in it. The plastic is different. And the way I explain this is, you know, we all as orthodontists buy night eye wires from different companies. There are certain night eye wires, you put on certain teeth and it comes out and it's all kinked. And there are certain night eye wires don't kink. There's a threshold and they can call it night eye, nitinol, copper night eye. But end of the day, you would know that. I mean, let's say you buy a product and it kinks, it doesn't give you the shape. The truth, the metallurgy is they're all made slightly different. And every company wants to have that uniqueness in it. And plastic is the same, like in the sense every company's plastic is different. From a non-proprietary information company would say, oh, Zendura FLX. But if you go into the depth of it, the scientists who work for these companies do know that certain combinations to that plastic makes them better. And I probably want to stop there because otherwise it can, I can easily share more information. But I think Spark's product, the majority of the success comes from the plastic. Then comes the software. Then comes the printing, which a lot of people don't know this. The printing of the models of Spark has a higher definition. And I don't know exactly how much it means in value, but there is a slide from Ormco that they're willing to share that talks about how much the printing helps with a plastic and adapt to the printed surface of a tooth surface, which I think plays a third big part. And I mean, eventually also means comes down to the doctor's treatment planning. So that doesn't mean still anybody who clicks and approves gets the outcome. But the disadvantages of Spark, sometimes you go with, now we know with, there's two products called TrueGen and TrueGen XR. And I've said this many times, the advantages we got from TrueGen realistically did not help us to fix, say, deep bite cases as well as the other company. So then I said, I mean, I've been talking about it for years to say, you should not skip the XR for refinements only. You should be allowing that to use in certain cases from the initial. After all the years, now they do. Now you can choose it. But eventually, I'd like them to look at the case and do that for you. So rather than you have to ask for it. So combination of factors help Spark. I mean, Dr. Alyssa Emery Carter showed the example of the refinements that are reduced in her practice. Again, she's a KOL. I understand it. But I mean, you've got to use it to try. And if you like it, that's great. And I've got doctors that say, no, I like the other brand because patients come for the brand. I'm not here to convince them. I'm a KOL. That doesn't mean I will sell my soul to say, look, yes, this is the best product on the market.
Yeah, I've said that for years. Look, I know so many orthodontists who speak for so many different products, and I don't care at all. You know, if I was sitting around having a beer with you or a Sprite or whatever we want to drink, and I said, Voss, what's your favorite wire? Right? And you said, this wire. I said, great. Oh, by the way, Glenn, I get paid to speak for them. Okay, so you're saying you're lying to me, Voss? No, I'm just saying I speak for them. Well, you don't have to tell me. I don't care. We've gotten into this crazy, I'm not even going to go down this rabbit hole about us having to disclose. I get it. But the problem is, it was started by a excuse the expression here, Voss. It's a uniquely American expression. You know, this whole concept was started by a bunch of jackwads who started online about 4 or 5 years ago, impugning the character of our peers. I won't speak for anybody else out there, but you know what? I don't give a crap if you speak for a company. If I believe you as a human being, you don't have to speak for the company, and I can think you're lying to me, right? If I believe you're a great human being, I don't care who you speak for. You know, if the Dalai Lama had a shoe deal with Nike and he said, I tell everybody for inner peace, wear these new, the Air Llamas, right? it's a preposterous concept, but you know where I'm going with this. If the Dalai Lama said, I have a new pair of a line called the Air Llamas, they'll bring you peace and tranquility every day as you walk buy them. You're not going to say the Dalai Lama is a KOL for Nike. You're just going to say, I follow the man. I love him. I follow his tenets. I want to, if he does this, I'll be it. And you get burned from time to time. But people, just stop worrying about this whole KOL thing, right? You got great people out there trying to teach you.
It's amazing you say this because I think people now have this opinion of, if you're KOL, you only say good things. And I'm actually the opposite. And many times I say good things about a lot of other products because I really love certain products the way I do things. And that's why people like you make a big difference, because you can be who you are. And, you know, in your group, you allow for people to speak about whatever they like. And if I like it, I say it as it is. And I love, for example, I use Angel Alliance A6 for cluster correction. And somebody had a massive meltdown about this because I spoke about the A6 because I said it's a best cluster corrector. Somebody had a massive problem with that because, oh, you were a KOL for Spark. And I said, but somebody asked a question, what's the best cluster corrector? And I said to him, that's the best cluster corrector in town. So use it, like it, go for it. If you don't use it. I'm not an Angel Line KOL. In fact, they said, well, you shouldn't be promoting that. I said, Spark doesn't have a great cluster corrector yet. It will eventually, but when it does, I will still evaluate what's right for my patients and my peers. And somebody had sent a screenshot of what I sent in your group to the higher up in the management. And they were concerned. And I said, there's no need for concern. We don't have a class two product and let's make it happen. And just give me some more extra people in R&D. I'll give you a great class two product.
Yeah. And by the way, if you hear my dog barking, and I apologize, this stupid dog has decided to park himself right outside my window and bark at the neighbor's dog. And so if it's bothering anybody out there, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do here. But yeah, but as we wind this whole thing down, it's really funny how I can talk about management, leadership, policies and systems, and say, for instance, you should, if you don't have a 5-year written goal, you're in for trouble. You should write down your 5-year goal, and people can disagree with me. We go back and forth. If I say I like brand X's wires, it's like I just insulted their family, right? Like it's, I think it's, and again, I'd love your feedback on this, but you're 29 years old, right, Voss? For those who can't see you in the photo, right? Who are just listening. You're 29, right? You've been around a little while, right? Yeah. But I think between you and me, we're well over 110 years old is what I'm going with. And I'm going to contribute 56 of those years. Okay. So, but at the end of the day, too many orthodontists make orthodontics who they are. You know, rather than being known as a great father, a great community leader, a great person, they'd rather be known as a great orthodontist, right? And I've told my children, I've said it on this show many, many times, if at my funeral, hopefully many years from now, people walk up to my children and just continue to tell them what an amazing orthodontist I've been, then I failed. I failed at life. Because orthodontist should be the last thing anybody talks about. And I hope I do good ortho. And I hope I change my patients' lives. But there's about 50 other things I'd rather be known for when I move on to that next realm than orthodontics. And I think too many people, especially the generation before us, I believe, made orthodontics a center of their life. Sure, they could play the banjo or they could fix a car, but they went to their grave at age 90, still practicing ortho. And it was everything they did. And if you called them a bad orthodontist, it was worse than calling them a bad person, right? And honestly, you want to call me a bad orthodontist? I'll sleep like a baby. I don't care. I know the quality of ortho I provide and I'm fine with it. But I think all too often, too many people are married to their clinical outcomes because that's who they are. They've identified themselves as an orthodontist. And if you say there's a better class two corrector, then you're wrong. Because if you're right, then I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, I can't deal with that. And no. Do you agree with that on any level?
I just think that politics and I think the whole hate for KOL comes from possibly because they just feel this undisputed claims, except I go, well, just go to those meetings and stand up and ask a question. That's where I believe a human courtesy of respect is. I remember going to meetings when I was in my residency, and especially in Australia, people would stand up and ask very awkward questions. And these questions are legitimately answered by the speaker to the truth of what we believe is right, right? And we've had the chance to talk to every single top orthodontist who would stand by their claims and say, and then it's up to you to decipher what's right and wrong, like the way we read stuff on social media now. What's the point in having us anger and angst? And I've got lots of friends who are 3M users, Invisalign users, but I don't see them as Invisalign users. I see them as friends. And what they do in their practice and what they do to run their life should not matter to me. I'm trying to take inspiration from what they do right. I'm not trying to find fault with them because then I'm going to live this negative life.
And you did say one last thing I'll point out to everybody out there. You said, just go to the meeting and stand up and ask a question. Hey, folks, get your butts to meetings. And I'm not talking about the AAO, because if I ask any of you about the AAO annual meeting, which you should go to, you're going to get great lectures, but you're generally not going to come home from those presentations with a depth. Usually it's going to be a quick little pearl here or there, something quick. And let's be honest, the vast majority of us go to the AAO meeting to connect with people we don't get to see from around the world, from around the country, and really get a better perspective of our profession from 30,000, or in this case, 100,000 feet looking down on the globe. So please get yourselves to meetings. It doesn't have to be Orthopreneur Summit, though if you want to go, this year is going to be epic. Just go to opsummit2024.com. We took over an entire cruise ship, for God's sakes. We've got, I think, over 850 people already on the ship, and we've got 8 months to go. Room cabins are selling out left and right, so the type of room you get may not be there when you get there. Just go OP Summit 2024, sign up. I promise it's going to blow you away. And the best part is we're not talking one word of clinical ortho. I promise you, aside from maybe one or two people, you will never see or even hear of these people at any other ortho meeting you will ever attend. And that's what I wanted. I want a meeting that makes you dream big, that inspires your team, that helps you think about your future in a healthier, more profitable, lower stress way. That's my mission for all of you. And so I want to say, Voss, thank you for being you. And thank you for getting on a plane and flying from Australia to Anaheim and being one day late to a meeting that's only 2 days long and you stayed. I just want to say thank you for being on the show and just being an inspiration to so many of us around here. Your calming and kind inspiration is your name, right? Voss, you said it means something to do with spring, right? And happiness and you're bringing that to everybody. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here today.
Thank you, Glenn, for this opportunity. I hope to see you in the summit and the cruise liner.
I'm looking forward to it.